The next portion of the presentation is a short update on tax developments. There have been significant tax developments this year as investment funds continue to draw increased scrutiny from Congress. Wow, there's like a hurricane. Okay. That's all right. As investment funds continue to draw increased scrutiny from both Congress and the regulators. Last year, the principal focus from a tax perspective was on manager compensation, and we saw the end of deferred compensation legislated through Congress, through Section 457 Cap A. And of course, this year we'll talk about in the next panel potential loopholes to avoid the rule. We also saw significant interest in carried interest legislation, which is still prominent. You haven't heard about it in the last few months, but it's on Capitol Hill. It's been an active debate. There's a lot of discussion about potentially a compromised blended rate on carried interest. We're going to hear more about that. This could get pushed out a year, but it also could come up in the next few months, and it is no way a dormant issue. Of course, manager compensation is less of an issue to the extent there's less manager compensation to tax, but it's still a very important issue for Congress. So as opposed to last year's focus on manager compensation, this year there have been two principal categories of tax developments related mostly to funds themselves, both hedge fund and private equity. The first category I call it the UBS category. It's a reaction to the perception by Congress and the IRS that offshore entities, including private equity funds and hedge funds, are vehicles to facilitate tax avoidance by U.S. taxpayers hiding their assets and earnings, just like all the news articles you've seen about high net worth U.S. people having accounts at UBS and not paying tax through Swiss banks. The second category that's really a focus this year is the taxation of offshore investment funds operating in the U.S. and audit activity relating to their trader business status. Starting with the UBS-related developments, one thing that we have seen representing various clients on audit is the IRS, in auditing hedge funds in particular, is focused on the theory that hedge funds are somehow vehicles to facilitate tax avoidance by U.S. taxpayers. So they're specifically asking whether you have collected as a hedge fund manager a W-8 certification of foreign status for every investor in a foreign fund. And this doesn't include pension funds, but non-institutional investors. They have also, in the course of audits, basically have accused managers of arranging structures for U.S. investors to get access to their offshore funds through intermediate entities. And they're asking specifically whether you've met with U.S. investors and whether you have any knowledge that they've kind of engaged Swiss banks or set up foreign entities to enter into funds. So, scary questions with a lot of skepticism. We don't know where this is going to lead. They've also focused on some arcane law related to backup withholding. So when an investor in an offshore fund redeems out of its interest in the fund and the fund pays cash to redeem those interests, that redemption is potentially subject to a special backup withholding regime and tax if the fund hasn't received a W-8. If the fund is a CFC, which is a controlled foreign corporation, which is a small subset of offshore funds, or some of those payments are processed through the United States. And it's kind of an arcane rule that a lot of people don't know about, and the offshore administration is still very important to make sure that redemption payments flow offshore. The IRS knows about this, and when they find out that some offshore funds don't have W-8 forms on files from foreign investors certifying their foreign status, they may actually start trying to attack managers from that or funds from that avenue. So not only on the audit activity side, there's definitely substantial legislation percolating. There were several legislative proposals, one from the Obama administration and one from Senator Carl Levin, that kind of led and culminated in an introduction last week of a new proposal coming from the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee called the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act of 2009. This is basically, if you thought the FBAR reporting was problematic and stressed you out, this is FBAR on steroids, and it would change the industry. There is a significant momentum in light of UBS and the issue of offshore tax avoidance. There's a lot of impetus to pass this type of legislation. There's a lot of lobbying going on, but we do suspect burdensome rules on hedge funds and private equity funds. Some highlights of the new proposals. A new withholding and reporting regime where every hedge fund and private equity fund would be treated as a foreign financial institution. So you'd be just like, you know, Swiss banks in terms of the eyes of the IRS, in terms of how you would approach the tax regulatory authorities and your responsibility on monitoring who your customers are and withholding. So under the proposal, if you have a private equity or hedge fund, an offshore private equity or hedge fund, and it has $1 of U.S. source dividend income or interest income, or it has any income from the sale, or not even gains, just any proceeds from the sale of a U.S. security, like a U.S. issued stock or debt instrument, you would need to basically comply as a qualified intermediary financial institution. You would have to institute complicated know-your-customer rules. You would need to get a W-8 from every investor certifying foreign status, or a TIN number indicating the U.S. status of the investor. And on top of that, you actually have to look through foreign entities. So the certification you receive would not be just that an investor is foreign. They would have to certify that no investor in that entity is 10% U.S. So it's a very it's a huge expansion of the overall withholding and compliance regime. Failure to comply basically means that every dollar of U.S. source income or a proceeds from sale of U.S. securities that's realized by the fund would be subject to a 30% tax. There's going to be a lot of lobbying on this, but it's, you know, this is the third round of this legislative of these legislative proposals, and this is the watered down version. So people are worried about it. There's separate part of this proposal are separate new FBAR type rules for foreign individuals relating to foreign accounts. It clarifies that almost every foreign fund is basically a foreign asset that needs FBAR reporting, and there's a general expansion of the FBAR rules, just so everybody will have to file 3,000 forms per person. The legislation contains separate provisions to basically attack the use of notional principal contracts by foreign funds to avoid dividend withholding tax. This is also kind of a new generation of proposals that have been out there, but this one looks like it is much more likely to pass. So anyway, just important legislative developments and audit developments on what I call the UBS phenomenon. Second major category relates to the focus of the IRS on funds in general, and in particular offshore funds, and their status of being engaged in business or having other tax issues. So we're representing funds that are getting very significant audits from the IRS, and they're raising lots of issues. The most prominent relates to funds being engaged in some sort of lending or finance activities. There was a New York City bar report that came out last year. They seem to have adopted it as a Bible and basically created a roadmap of every possible issue they can raise for with respect to a foreign fund engaged in debt activities. They also issued, the IRS also issued a special memorandum, the general counsel chief counsel of the IRS issued a memo to the field basically saying, that indicated to the field that this is a real issue that they should bring up on audit. The memo was a very technical issue, but it has been viewed by many as a signal by the IRS to basically unleash the auditors on the foreign funds. And we've seen this. They're looking at funds that do season and sell transactions, funds that do direct lending, dip financing, restructuring transactions involving what they call fulcrum securities, or where you're involved in the restructuring process, certain syndication arrangements where we thought that funds really wouldn't have much issue being participating in loan syndications where there were financial institutions involved. They're looking at that. So, you know, it's kind of scary being part of an audit there. It's good for the lawyers because it generates a lot of fees and things, but it's not good if you're a fund. It's a little bit of a shakedown. I mean, they're not going to litigate all these issues that they uncover for every theory that they have about a fund being engaged in business, but they will try to shake down the funds for money to settle. They're definitely looking for settlement dollars, and they will, I believe, litigate some of the weaker fact patterns that they discover. So they'll take them all the way.